is my scotch. It's the power of positive drinking. Some people ruin their drinks with ice, and then they ask you for advice. They tell you, I've never told this to anyone else before. They say candy is dandy, but liquor makes quipsters, and I don't like mixers or sippers or sob sisters. You know, you have to be real careful where you sit down at a bar these days. And then some people drink to unleash their libidos, and other people drink to prop up their egos. It's my burden, man. People say I have the kind of face you can trust. The pow, 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 power of positive drinking. The pow, 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 power of positive. The pow, 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 power of positive. The pow, 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 power of positive. The pow, 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 power of positive drinking. Some people say alcohol makes you less lucid, and I think that's true if you're kind of stupid. I'm not that kind that gets himself burned twice. And some say liquor kills the cells in your head, and for that matter, so does getting out of bed. When I exit, I'll go out gracefully, shot in my hand. The pow, 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 power of positive drinking. Pow, 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 power of positive. The pow, 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 power of positive. The pow, 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 power of positive. The pow, 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 power of positive.
Drinking.
Robin Hitchcock and the Egyptians
wrapping up that short set of music, getting us up towards that top of the hour with the Yip song from 1993's Respect. Before the Robin Hitchcock, how about Lou Reed? Went back to 1980's Growing Up in Public album with the Power of Positive Drinking. And then Jonathan Richman from I, Jonathan, 1992's when that album came out with I Was Dancing in the Lesbian Bar. Gets us to where we are now, which is just a matter of seconds before the top of the hour. Don't forget that during these uncertain and unprecedented times, people needing organ transplants need your help more than ever. Did you know that 22 Americans die each day waiting for organ transplants? Most of them are kidneys. Now, the good news is MatchingDonors.com is helping to change that. They link organ donors with people in need of kidneys and other transplants. And you don't have to donate a kidney to save a life. Nope, you can actually donate a boat, a car, maybe some real estate, and get a great tax deduction and help save lives. Visit MatchingDonors.com or call 1-800-385-0422. More music coming up after this.
Nuclear Holocaust. It's a very serious problem, and one that faces all of us. Fortunately, here at WRCT Pittsburgh, we broadcast from a steel-reinforced concrete basement. So we'll be playing music long after your sorry corpse has evaporated in a blinding flash of light and heat. I hope this thought comforts you. WRCT Pittsburgh, 88.3 FM. Now and forever.
Welcome, everybody. We have not done a COVID update in weeks now. We've just sort of been waiting to see what happens with Omicron. How high do cases get? How quickly is this thing going to burn through? But this is both milder by some very specific definitions and wreaking more havoc on the healthcare system and the economy than at any prior point in the pandemic. How is this possible? Well, it's possible because something can be milder at the individual level, meaning just imagine these are made up numbers. Imagine that before, if you were infected, not remember, cases are ones we know about. Infections are infections, whether we count them or not. For every given infection, imagine that before there was a 1% chance of being hospitalized, and now it's a 0.5%. These are imaginary numbers. Wow, the risk of hospitalization has gone down by half. But if it's three times as contagious or four times as contagious, while any individual is at lower risk of hospitalization, at the societal level, the total number of people hospitalized is going to go up. And that is exactly what is going on, and that's where I want to start today. The number of hospitalized individuals in the United States right now is higher than at any previous point in the pandemic. Now, there's a bunch of very important caveats here. So as you can see, there was this previous peak at about 133,000 in January of 2021, and we are now at 137,000 almost, and still climbing. There is a really important caveat here, which is good news, and it's causing the reporting to have to be changed. There are a ton of people who show up in this chart as hospitalized with COVID who are actually in the hospital for something else, and they have incidentally tested positive. That's a really good thing in terms of the severity question. In New York City, there was a report that said half of those that show up as hospitalized with COVID aren't hospitalized because their COVID requires hospitalization. They're therefore a broken leg, a heart attack, something else. That's a really good sign, and that mitigates the insanity of these numbers, which are only going to keep going up for at least a couple of weeks. So that's one thing. Secondly, have we reached the peak of cases where we are now going to see a decline? Maybe. But if not, we're probably only 7 to 10 days away. So as you can see, if you're watching, We had this crazy day with nearly 900,000 official cases, which suggests close to 2 million infections probably. And we've seen some of those numbers decline since. The average continues to climb, but it is starting to level out. The rate at which the average is climbing is starting to level out, and that's a good thing. When you look at deaths, it is going up, but it is going up at a rate much smaller than that which cases have increased. If you look at South Africa as what might be to come, you see that they hit their Omicron peak very quickly and are down from 23,000 cases a day to 7. So that's a decline of, you know, about 2/3 so far. The UK, which may be, in terms of their timeline, halfway between where South Africa and the United States are, the UK has also seen a turnaround and a decline from about 180,000 a day to 155, a decline of about, you know, roughly 15-18%, something like that. So it seems we're probably getting there. The question will be, do we come out of this without another variant that will be able to find a susceptible population? We don't know the answer to that. A couple of other notable stories. United Airlines has announced that employee deaths from COVID dropped to zero after they instituted their vaccine mandate. That's a very interesting story. Axios has it, and I encourage you to read it. But the CEO wrote, "There are approximately 3,000 employees who have tested positive for the virus. No vaccinated employees hospitalized as of late." And that is a very, very interesting report. United operationally is still being affected significantly because of people testing positive and having to quarantine and not being able to work. But that's a really reassuring headline to a great degree about the vaccine. We also have heard, oh, and I apologize here, all of a sudden my ad blocker is being rejected by my browser. The Pfizer CEO says that the Omicron vaccine will be ready in March. Now, there's two interpretations of this. One is, by March, Omicron will be long gone. It's too late. By that point, we won't need this vaccine anymore. From what I'm reading from serious virologists, that's not quite right. If we imagine that this is a possibility, if future variants will be descendants of Omicron because Omicron is so widespread, we are still better off having a vaccine tailored to the lineage of Omicron. It's still a good thing. When it comes to this wave, it will be useless, without a doubt. But Pfizer CEO says Omicron vaccine will be ready in March, and that may be what helps prevent the next major wave. So that's the latest when it comes to the coronavirus pandemic. This is not about a segment about mandates or masking or the drama over that. It's just here is where the numbers are. And the cautiously, let me give you both the most pessimistic view and the most optimistic view. We're probably somewhere in the middle is where we will come out. The most pessimistic view here is there is no end to the variants. There will continue to be new variants that are different enough from the ones that people have been exposed to, that they will continue to find a large, vulnerable population. And we're going to keep having these massive, massive spikes, 15-20% of the country at once infected, disruptions to people's jobs, disruptions to supply chain. This is never going to end. The counterpoint to this is this is extremely contagious, but on average, it is milder. On average, it is milder. And we are, by so rapidly exposing essentially everybody to this, we are going to be able to really quickly get beyond this wave with a shorter opportunity for a variant that is dramatically different enough for this to happen again in 3 or 4 months. That would be the optimistic. It'll probably be somewhere in the middle. I'm leaning towards the slightly more optimistic from what I'm reading so far. I don't know how many of you are going to believe this or not, but it is very true. There is talk of Hillary Clinton 2024. Let that sink in. They are talking about Hillary 2024 again. And what we are seeing is that so far, in the midst of what's going on with COVID and an understandable frustration with lack of more tangible accomplishments among many, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are being increasingly seen as uninspiring, unexciting, and vulnerable in 2024. And I've said before, this part I agree with completely. I've said in 2024, if Trump's the nominee or if DeSantis is the nominee, I don't feel super confident about Biden versus either of them. And if Biden says, I'm not running for re-election, but here's Kamala, and Kamala is basically awarded the Democratic nomination, I also don't feel very confident about that. Some who share my concerns are saying, let's look at bringing Hillary back. The idea being, in hindsight, so this is the case some are making. I'm not making this case. The case some are making is, listen, the American public now knows what a mistake it was to choose Trump over Hillary. So what better way to put a Democrat back in the White House than to say, now do the right thing with Hillary? I think this is potentially disastrous. There is a very interesting article in The Wall Street Journal, which, full disclosure, the Wall Street Journal is part of News Corporation, Fox News, etc. This is an op-ed by Doug Schoen and Andrew Stein, and it's called Hillary Clinton's 2024 Election Comeback. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris have become unpopular. It may be time for a change candidate. Now, you can agree with part of this and not all of it. Let me tell you what I mean by that. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris have become unpopular. When you actually look at the average of approval ratings, Joe Biden's actually doing okay. There is no mathematical case that Joe Biden is really unpopular. As you can see, Biden's approval came down significantly in late July through September and into October. But since then, it's basically been steady within 1 point, and it is not unusually low. If you look, as 538 allows you to do, if you look at how Biden compares with past presidents, Biden is more popular by about 6 points at this point in time than Trump was during his presidency. And he's sort of close to others. I mean, I think the exception certainly with George W. Bush at this point in time. Bush had he was buoyed in his approval by 9/11. Joe Biden is less popular right now than Obama, Clinton, George H.W. Bush, Reagan, Nixon. Ford is very, very close and less popular than Jimmy Carter. That's true. But compared to Trump, he's actually doing better. So for me, the approval rating right now is not really the signal about whether Joe Biden can or cannot win in 2024. But what this is a signal about is that there's no question that it's hard to look at the Biden-Harris administration and be excited. Now, to some degree, they were handed a very difficult situation when it comes to the pandemic. But this is less about popularity today, per se. It's more about the vision for what do things look like after the midterms. What is it exactly that this administration is going to stand for or accomplish? And to some degree, the reason people are talking about Hillary is that there aren't many inspiring figures in the Democratic Party that people are excited about for 2024. I know that let me go through some of the contingents. There's a contingent that says it's Bernie's time. I believe Bernie's time has come and gone. I don't think a third run from Bernie is going to be what inspires the Democratic Party to come together and to defeat whoever is the Republican in 2024. I just don't see it. And I know some of you disagree with me. I love Bernie. I just don't think Bernie at whatever age he will be. Bernie Sanders age. Bernie is 80. So he would be what? 80. 82, 83, 84 when he would become president. I just don't see it. And you can apply the same thing to Biden, and that's fine. I wouldn't disagree with you. I think that there's an issue with Biden's age as well. I don't think that that's what it is. There's another side that says there's no one more exciting than AOC. I think it would be really tough in 24 for AOC to run for president. Would she even be old enough? That's another question. When will AOC be old enough to run for president? She turns 35 a few weeks before Election Day. OK, so she may be eligible. I have a really hard time imagining that AOC is going to win the presidency in 2024, despite a lot of people being very excited about her. So then you end up with people saying stuff, well, what about Warren Buttigieg? And it makes a lot of progressives cringe, even though when you look on paper, Warren's one of the few people proposing a wealth tax, something very popular with the progressives. Buttigieg is one of the few guys who can actually consistently out rhetoric whoever it is he's talking about, Fox News host, whatever. But it doesn't feel like it's going to really inspire the widest swath of the Democratic Party. So I get why people are again saying, I don't know, maybe Hillary again. She's younger than some of these other people, but it strikes me as potentially disastrous. Let me know your thoughts. You can find me on Twitter at @dpacman. We'll take a break and be back right after this. All right, let's get right into this absolutely incredible hearing that took place yesterday. There was a Senate hearing yesterday on COVID. Dr. Anthony Fauci testified, CDC Director Rochelle Walensky testified, and there are three or four different controversies that came from this, including Dr. Fauci being caught on a hot mic saying that Senator Roger Marshall is a moron, which I will prove to you that he is in the next segment. But the first big confrontation was between Dr. Fauci and Republican Senator Rand Paul. Senator Rand Paul has been determined from the start of the pandemic to say, this is no big deal. We don't need masks. We don't need vaccines. But more dangerously, Fauci's a bad actor, to the point that people have actually gone after Fauci. Fauci now needs full-time security. So let's get right into this. The beginning is Dr. Fauci being grilled by Rand Paul about emails. Let's just jump right in.
Do you really think it's appropriate to use your $420,000 salary to attack scientists that disagree with you?
Oh, and that's the new thing now also, that they're obsessed with Fauci's salary, which comes up.
Senator, the email you're referring to was an email of Dr. Collins to me. If you look at the email
that you responded to and hurried up and said, I can do it, I can do it. We got something in Wired magazine.
No. I think in usual fashion, Senator, you are distorting everything about me.
Yes. Did you ever object to Dr. Collins's characterization of them as friends? Did you write back to Dr. Collins and say, no, they're esteemed scientists, and it would be beneath me
I did not do that.
You responded to him that you would do it, and you immediately got an article in Wired, and you sent it back to him and said, hey, look, I've got him. I nailed him in Wired of all scientific
publications. That's not
publications.
What went on. You there did. You go again.
That
you just do the same thing every hearing.
That was your response. And so, this wasn't the only time. So your desire to take
you're
down people
incorrect as usual.
What is the point of this? Like, we're not learning about the pandemic here. We're not getting closer to dealing with it with Rand Paul's lines of questioning. It's just him trying to get appearances on Fox News, which happens whenever he does this.
Senator, you are incorrect. Almost everything you
said. Well, no, you deny, but the emails tell the truth of this.
No.
This wasn't the only time. Your desire to take down those who disagree with you didn't stop with Harvard, Oxford, and Stanford. You conspired with Peter Daszak, who you communicated with privately, and other members of the scientific community that wrote opinion pieces for Nature. Five of them signed a paper for Nature, an opinion piece. 17 signed a paper that called it conspiracy theory, the idea that the virus could have originated in the lab. Do you think words like conspiracy theory should be in a scientific paper?
Senator, I never used that word when I was referring to it. You're distorting virtually everything.
Did you communicate with the five scientists who wrote the opinion piece in Nature? Were they... We're describing, there's no way this could have come from the lab.
That was not me. What
did you talk with any of those scientists?
So as you can see, he can barely even get a word in. Eventually, Dr. Fauci unleashes and says, I am getting threats from people getting caught with guns. Listen to what Dr. Fauci reveals here.
You know, I guess you could say, well, that's the way it goes. I can take the hit. Well, it makes a difference. Because as some of you may know, just about 3 or 4 weeks ago on December 21st, a person was arrested who was on their way from Sacramento to Washington, D.C. at a speed stop in Iowa. And the police asked him where he was going, and he was going to Washington, D.C. to kill Dr. Fauci.
Wow.
And they found in his car an AR-15 and multiple magazines of ammunition because he thinks that maybe I'm killing people. So I ask myself, why would Senator want to do this? So go to Rand Paul website.
Uh-oh.
And you see Fire Dr. Fauci with a little box that says contribute here. You can do $5, $10,
wow.
$20, $100. So you are making a catastrophic epidemic for your political gain. So the
you
only
have
thing
politically
that,
attacked
thing
your
can,
colleagues. And
so Rand Paul interrupts without addressing the substance.
Politically reprehensible
the
way
only thing that I
their reputation.
Okay,
you won't defend it.
No,
you won't argue it.
I'm
You'll
sorry,
just simply
we're
turn
going
around
to
the
continue
attack.
Continue this hearing. We have a number of questions for another senator.
One more minute, please.
Well, Fauci, I really appreciate your response, but we do have a number of questions from senators, and we do have a second round. And
That is essentially stochastic terrorism. I mean, the story that Dr. Fauci tells there about guy stopped with guns in the car, this happened with Glenn Beck years ago, right-wing propagandist Glenn Beck, who would just hammer on the Tides Foundation. He's obsessed with the Tides Foundation. And a guy was actually stopped, I believe, by California Highway Patrol with guns. And it was like, what are you doing? I'm going to take care of the Tides Foundation. This is stochastic terrorism. And not only is Rand Paul doing it by just attacking a doctor, he's also fundraising off of it. Fire Dr. Fauci, send me $5, send me $10, send me $100. Or Dr. Fauci coming prepared with the receipts. Let's look at one more clip here.
The last time we had a committee or the time before, he was accusing me of being responsible for the death of 4 to 5 million people, which is really irresponsible. And I say, why is he doing that? There are two reasons why that's really bad.
Yeah.
The first is it distracts from what we're all trying to do here today, is get our arms around the epidemic and the pandemic that we're dealing with.
The thing is, that's not actually what Rand Paul is there to do. Dr. Fauci is naive in that for Rand Paul, this line of questioning isn't a distraction. It's the only thing he cares about.
Not something imaginary. Number two, what happens when he gets out and accuses me of things that are completely untrue is that all of a sudden that kindles the crazies out there, and I have life that threats upon my life, harassment of my family and my children with obscene phone calls because people are lying about me. Now, you know, I guess you could say, well, that's the way it goes.
And then he goes into the segment that we looked at earlier with regard to the person caught in the car. This guy is disgusting, Rand Paul. And these hearings are being used as a platform to promote all sorts of disinformation. Ted Cruz did it later, and I'm going to talk about that. But first, I want to deal with what I consider to be the funniest moment of these hearings. So we were looking at the hearing that took place yesterday, Senate hearing with Dr. Anthony Fauci and CDC Director Rochelle Walensky about the pandemic. Rand Paul and Dr. Fauci's confrontation we already looked at. The funniest moment is that after Republican Senator Roger Marshall said all sorts of stupid things and asked really dumb questions, Dr. Fauci was caught on it's being called a hot mic. Dr. Fauci may have known that the mic was on. I mean, who knows? Maybe he did this on purpose. Saying what a moron followed by Jesus Christ. I just absolutely love this. Let's take a look. The clip going viral instantly.
Look, Senator you are reviewing. Totally incorrect.
Senator well, we look Marshall, forward to reviewing it.
Senator Marshall, Dr. Fauci has answered you. It is public information, and he's happy to give it to you if you would ask. Senator Moran.
What a moron.
What a moron. It is an exasperated Dr. Anthony Fauci. And you know what? Roger Marshall is a moron. Moron is too light a term to apply to him. Here's some of Roger Marshall's questioning.
Dr. Fauci, according to Forbes, you have an annual salary in 2020 was $434,000. You oversee over $5 billion.
They actually put up a blown up fake novelty check. This is about the pandemic, I thought.
And federal research grants. As the highest paid employee in the entire federal government, Yes or no, would you be willing to submit to Congress and the public a financial disclosure that includes your past and current investments? After all, your colleague, Dr. Walensky, and every member of Congress submits a financial disclosure that includes their investments.
Now here's a mic off moment. Then he turns his mic on.
I don't understand why you're asking me that question. My financial disclosure is public knowledge and has been so for the last 37 years or so, 35 years.
The reason he's asking it, even though the financial disclosures are already public, is he wants brownie points from the right for doing it in a hearing.
The big tech giants are doing an incredible job of keeping it from being public. We'll continue to look for it. Where would we find it?
All you have to do is ask for it. You're so misinformed. It's extraordinary.
Why am I misinformed? This is a huge issue. Wouldn't you agree with me that you have you see things before members of Congress would see them, so that there's an air of appearance that maybe some shenanigans are going on? You know,
there's an air of appearance that some shenanigans are going on. Man, this guy is a moron. Fauci was right.
I assume that's not the case.
What are you talking about? My financial disclosures are public knowledge and have been so. You are getting amazingly wrong information.
So I cannot find them. Our office cannot find them.
He can't find them, so Fauci must be hiding them. Think about that logic.
Where would they be if they're public knowledge? Where?
It is totally accessible to you if you want it.
For the public. Is it accessible to the public?
Okay. To the public.
Great. We look forward to reviewing it.
You are totally incorrect.
Well, we look forward to reviewing it.
It is really stunning. This guy truly, truly, truly a moron. And just on his political positions, Roger Marshall doesn't even want abortion to be legal in cases of rape and incest. That's a moronic position to take. It's an immoral position. During COVID, Marshall promoted conspiracy theories that the CDC is exaggerating COVID deaths. This is like stuff from the, you know, the cesspool of Facebook. Facebook has even removed Marshall's posts because they were harmful misinformation. And Facebook allows tons of harmful misinformation. He was promoting hydroxychloroquine prophylactically when it was unproven and it's since been debunked. Roger Marshall said, I'm not even sure that there is climate change. This guy is a moron. And of course, he's in favor of repealing Obamacare. Dr. Fauci was right. And unfortunately, these Republicans are going to COVID hearings and asking about everything other than actual questions about COVID. If you want to see these clips, if you're just listening today, you want to see the clips, we'll have them up on our Instagram, which you can find at David Pakman Show. And you can also follow me on Instagram at David.Pakman. All right, let's continue our coverage. Who knew that a simple Senate hearing about COVID would lead to this much to discuss and so many important issues that have to be taken apart piece by piece by piece? We recently told you about when Ted Cruz had to go in front of his master, I mean, Fox News propagandist Tucker Carlson, and grovel and say, I'm sorry, Tucker, I was stupid. I said something wrong. I shouldn't have called the January 6th rioters terrorists. I'm sorry. I misspoke. And he had to do a mea culpa in front of the person who really has the power in that relationship, not the U.S. senator, but the Fox News propagandist Tucker Carlson. Now, Tucker Carlson loves, loves, loves the conspiracy theory that a man named Ray Epps was supposedly a Trumpist, but actually an undercover Fed inciting the riots because the FBI organized the Trump riots as a false flag attack. That's sort of the gist of it. And you might remember that during their interview, right after Ted Cruz was done groveling, Tucker started talking about Ray Epps, and Ted Cruz, seeing it as an opportunity to get back on the good graces of Tucker, went right along with it. OK, this is from the other day.
And I agree.
That snippet.
So who's Ray Epps, by the way, since you are a senator? Like, he and this other guy are clearly encouraging the crowd to commit crimes. Neither one has been arrested or charged. What is that, do you think?
So I think that is a very good question. I don't know who Ray Epps is. I've seen that video multiple times. It's disturbing.
Right?
He's clearly urging the crowd to violate the law. When you see the crowd start chanting, Fed, 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 for him to appear on the FBI's most wanted list and come off, it certainly suggests he was working for the FBI.
That is riddled with lies. Let me play a little more, then I'll get back to it.
Not conclusive, but that's the obvious implication. And the Attorney General and the Department of Justice won't answer the question. Tucker, I can tell you, I joined with a number of other senators trying to...
Okay, so you get the point. Tucker loves this conspiracy theory. Now, it is just a conspiracy theory. Number one, Ray Epps was never on the FBI's most wanted. He was never on the FBI's most wanted. There's a list that's the FBI's most wanted. And then there's other things like when the FBI will release a picture of people that they want to talk to. And after the Trump riots, Ray Epps, and I have the picture up on the screen, was on one of these pictures in chronological order from people they saw in the lower left. There's a picture of Ray Epps there. This is not the FBI's most wanted, and not every person on this list was charged. It wasn't only Ray Epps. What do we know about Ray Epps? Ray Epps owns a wedding and event venue in Arizona. He's a retired U.S. Marine. He's a Trump supporter. He's connected to the anti-government group, the Oath Keepers, and he was listed as president of the Arizona chapter. Ray Epps is on videos in advance of the riots the day before saying, we've got to go to the Capitol. And some people in the crowd go, no, Fed. And ultimately, it's what they did. On the day of the riots, he was there. But he did not participate in the violence. And in fact, there are videos of Ray Epps saying, let's not get violent. So everything Ted Cruz is saying or Tucker, some of it is just straight up lies. And some of it really doesn't mean much one way or the other. Like, let me give you an example. Asha Rangappa tweeted, the fact that there was one guy out of 1,000 people who were on an FBI person of interest list and then was taken off is not evidence that January 6th was an FBI-led operation. Additionally, confidential informants and sources are not feds, So even if Ray Epps was a confidential informant for the FBI, that doesn't make him any more a fed than when a drug dealer is a confidential informant to the DEA about higher-ups. That's not a DEA agent. That's not a fed. It's a drug dealer who's agreed to cooperate with the FBI, with the DEA. But none of that's even been demonstrated. But Ted Cruz had to go and do Tucker's bidding. Ted Cruz went and brought the Ray Epps thing to the Senate hearing. Take a look at this.
I want to turn to the FBI. How many FBI agents or confidential?
And I'm sorry, I think earlier I said this was a hearing on COVID. This is a hearing on January 6th. I think I just misspoke earlier.
Confidential informants actively participated in the events of January 6th.
Sir, I'm sure you can appreciate that I can't go into the specifics of sources and methods.
Did any FBI agents or confidential informants actively participate in the events of January 6th? Yes.
Now understand the way he's asking the question. These are completely different questions. Did FBI agents participate in the riots? Did confidential informants participate in the riots? These are completely different questions, neither of which has anything to do with Ray Epps individually.
January 6th, yes or no? Sir, I can't answer that.
And Ted Cruz knows that that can't be answered in this format. And it is such a vague and broad question.
Did any FBI agents or confidential informants commit crimes of violence on January 6th?
I can't answer that, sir.
Did any FBI agents or FBI informants actively encourage and incite crimes of violence on January 6th?
Sir, I can't answer that.
Ms. Sadburn, who is Ray Epps?
I'm aware of the individual, sir. I don't have the specific background to him.
Well, there are a lot of people who are understandably very concerned about Mr. Epps. On the night of January 5th, 2021, Epps wandered around the crowd that had gathered. And there's video out there of him chanting, tomorrow, we need to get into the Capitol, into the Capitol. This was strange behavior, so strange that the crowd began chanting,
he's
Fed,
got,
Fed, Fed, Fed.
He's got charts on the floor of this hearing room. Pictures of Ray Epps.
Fed, Fed, Fed. Ms. Sanborn, was Ray Epps a Fed?
Sir, I cannot answer that question.
The next.
And of course, the conspiracists say, well, if it can't be answered no, then the answer must be yes. But anybody who understands such a hearing would know, under no circumstances would someone from the FBI or DOJ answer questions in the way that Ted Cruz wants them answered. It is not evidence of anything.
The next day, on January 6th, Mr. Epps is seen whispering to a person, and 5 seconds later, 5 seconds after he's whispering to a person, that same person begins to forcibly tear down the barricades. Did Mr. Epps urge them to tear down the barricades?
Sir, similar to the other answers, I cannot answer that.
So they are absolutely loving this. This was a narrative pushed by right-wing media. Ted Cruz loves it. Ted Cruz is using it to get back in the good graces of the American right wing after he had to go and grovel before Tucker Carlson. Epps himself says he has never been an informant for the FBI. He has never been an informant for any law enforcement agency. And he is obviously not an FBI agent. He's a right-wing anti-government group dude. And they are absolutely running with this one. And I will show you how quickly they can signal boost this. So now let's look at Tucker Carlson's show from last night. Understand the signal boosting of these right-wing conspiracy theories. For months, Tucker has been saying on his show, without evidence, the FBI did the Trump riots. He's just been repeating that. He eventually gets on this idea of Ray Epps. Ray Epps, the Oath Keepers militia guy, is a Fed or a confidential informant, which is a completely different thing. Ted Cruz gets sucked into it because Ted Cruz says the wrong thing about the January 6th rioters being terrorists, and he has to go on Tucker's show and apologize, at which point Tucker starts talking to him about Ray Epps. Then Ted Cruz does his good deed of the day and talks about Ray Epps during a Senate hearing yesterday. And then we go to last night on Tucker Carlson's show, where Tucker then signal boosts it even more. Here is Tucker Carlson continuing the Ray Epps conspiracy theory.
And while we're at it, here's something else that's confusing. Epps is a longtime right-wing activist. As you know, he urged protesters to riot.
True.
Video from January 6th shows him at the forefront, right in front of the Capitol, appearing to usher others inside. So he wasn't just someone who was there. He was maybe the central figure there.
He was not the central figure. He obviously was not the central figure. And only if you believe that does any of the rest of this even make sense. If you listen to this critically, you go, wait, Ray Epps was a central figure. It's not clear Ray Epps actually committed any crimes at the Capitol.
And yet Democrats, for reasons that aren't at all clear, suddenly seem highly protective of Ray Epps. They don't want you to criticize him. Adam Kinzinger described Ray Epps today as, quote, nothing but a January 6th protest attendee.
And remember, he says Democrats don't want you talking about him, but Adam Kinzinger is a Republican.
Really? Nothing but an attendee? He is, of course, the opposite of that. Of everyone there, Ray Epps is the one you should be maddest at if you are the Democratic Party.
What about Trump?
And yet they're telling you he was an attendee, not an insurrectionist, not a terrorist, just an attendee. Another engaged American exercising his constitutional rights.
Now, by the way, I haven't found any Democrats saying that. Ray Epps is a, you know, disgusting right wing dude who was there the day before talking about going into the Capitol. But I'm not calling him. I'm not saying anything positive about him other than the argument that he's a Fed is not based in any fact.
That's a huge change. It's bizarre. It doesn't make any sense at all. So what's going on here?
Yeah,
something is, that's for sure. And one last question. The committee has assured us that Ray Epps wasn't, quote, employed by, working with, or acting at the direction of any law enforcement agency. Okay. But why did the committee stop there? Would the committee be willing to broaden that statement and affirm in writing that Ray Epps wasn't working with any government agency, law enforcement or otherwise?
That's a very typical conspiracist thing also, which is no matter what information you eventually get from people, you say it's not comprehensive enough, it's not full enough, they will never be satisfied with it. And Tucker continued this. I mean, it's like a lot of Ray Epps stuff on his show. It's wild.
In other words, they really expect you to believe that. Quote, I simply don't have any information at all on that individual. So the DOJ knows nothing about Ray Epps, the guy on the most wanted list. Right.
Now, that's also not true. We have a combination of statements, including that he is not working for the FBI. And when Ted Cruz asked some of his questions, the answers were, I can't speak about individuals in this way. And that would be the answer no matter who the individual was.
That's absurdly false. And as if to underscore how absurdly false it is, within a short time, Democrats in the January 6th committee released a statement claiming that actually they'd already interviewed Ray Epps. And anyone who still has questions about his behavior on January 5th or 6th is a dangerous conspiracy theorist. Quote, Mr. Epps informed us, the committee said in a statement today, that he was not working with, employed by, or acting at the direction of any law enforcement agency on January 5th or 6th or at any other time, and that he has never been an informant for the FBI or any other law enforcement agency, end quote. Wow. Bombshell. Looks like case closed. We can forget about Ray Epps.
So then, of course, here it's when the denial is not a good enough denial. So these are indefeasible arguments from Tucker. You can, and which is common of conspiracy theorists. There is nothing you can present because evidence in favor is evidence in favor. And evidence or statements against are also evidence in favor, either through to their due to their alleged incompleteness or specificity, or whatever the case may be. So my instinct is that these people will never be satisfied with the Ray Epps thing. But look at the way that Tucker was able to use Ted Cruz to talk about this on national television during a Senate hearing. It's incredible stuff. All right, we're going to look at something fascinating today. This is the best confrontational interview that Donald Trump has ever done. And you are going to see Steve Inskeep from NPR dismantle each lie that Trump tells. And you will see firsthand what happens when a real interviewer is placed in a position where he or she can actually counteract Trump's lies. This interview that I'm going to play for you here, this is a slow moving train wreck. The Jonathan Swan interview on Axios with Trump, where Trump held up maps and charts and said, but you can't do that, sir. That was like a rapid train wreck. This is a slow moving train wreck where each claim Trump makes is refuted with fact by Steve Inskeep. And eventually Trump just hangs up the phone. Trump aborts the interview because it is going so poorly. Each time he's confronted, he moves on to another topic. I'm going to keep track of all the different claims so that then we can actually add them up. Beautifully done by Steve Inskeep. Let's just jump right in.
Just have to point out Doug Logan, to name one of the states that you just named. Doug Logan, who ran the audit in Arizona that was set up by your allies, didn't find serious problems. This is a quote. The ballots that were provided to us to count in the Coliseum very accurately correlate with the official canvas numbers.
Right.
He raised a bunch of administrative issues, but didn't find a problem that would have changed the result at all.
The ballots may correspond, but look at the ballots themselves. The number of ballots doesn't mean anything. It's who signed the ballots? Where did the ballots come from? What you really have to do in that report is look at the findings. And the findings are devastating for Arizona. They're devastating like nobody's seen before.
Okay.
Are just as bad.
Why did Republican officials in Arizona accept the results then?
Because they're rhinos, and frankly, a lot of people are questioning that. Why would they? They fought very hard. The Maricopa County.
So that's claim two. Don't worry, I'm keeping track, and then we'll review. This is fascinating.
People, and people don't understand it because all you have to do is look at the findings. And just so you know, some of those people went before Congress a short while ago, and they were grilled by Congressman Biggs. You ought to take a look at their testimony. They weren't able to answer anything. He made them look like fools. They couldn't answer a thing. They got up and gave a beautiful statement, and then when it came time to ask why this, why that, what about these votes, what about those votes, they looked like total fools.
Let me read you some short quotes. The first is by one of the judges, one of the 10 judges you appointed who ruled on this, and there were many judges, but 10 who you appointed. Brett Ludwig, U.S. District Court in Wisconsin, who was nominated by you in 2020, he's on the bench, and he says, quote, "This court allowed the plaintiff the chance to make his case, and he has lost on the merits." Another quote, Corey Langhofer, your own campaign attorney in Arizona, November 12, 2020, quote, "We are not alleging fraud in this lawsuit. We are not alleging anyone stealing the election." And also Rudy Giuliani, your lawyer, November 18, 2020 in Pennsylvania, quote, "This is not a fraud case. Your own lawyers had no evidence of fraud. They said in court they had no evidence of fraud.
Third claim.
And the judges ruled against you every time on the merits."
It was too early to ask for fraud and to talk about fraud. Rudy said that because of the fact it was very early, because that was obviously at a very, very, that was a long time ago. The things that have found out have more than bore out what people thought and what people felt and what people found. When you look at Langhofer, I disagree with him as an attorney. I did not think he was a good attorney to hire. I don't know what his game is, but I will just say this. You look at the findings, you look at the number of votes, go into Detroit and just ask yourself, is it true that there are more votes than there are voters? Look at Pennsylvania, look at Philadelphia. Is it true that there were far more votes than there were voters?
It is not true that there were far
more. That's a pretty tough problem.
It is not true that there were far more votes than voters. There was an early count. I've noticed you've talked about this in rallies, and you've said reportedly this is true. I think even you know that that was an early report that was corrected later.
Well, you take a look at it.
Really?
You take a look at Detroit. In fact, they even had a hard time getting people to sign off on it because it was so out of balance. They called it out of balance. So you take a look at it. You know the real truth, Steve. And this election was a rigged election.
Why is it that you think that the vast majority of your allies in the United States Senate are not standing behind you? We did have that statement by Mike Rounds.
Because Mitch McConnell is a loser. And frankly, Mitch McConnell, if he were on the other side and if Schumer were put in his position, he would have been fighting this like you've never seen before. He would have been fighting this.
I hope you guys are taking notes like I am.
Because when you look at it, and this is a long way from over, you take a look at what's going on now in Pennsylvania. Take a look at what's going on in Wisconsin. You just take a look. Now, we had a lot of cases where the judges wouldn't hear them. We had a case in Nevada that was so good. You read the papers, it's impossible. The judge refused to even listen to it. We had many cases. In fact, they say, and I can't testify because it's been through a lot of systems, a lot of different systems, but they say, and they say very strongly, the judge is just, nobody's really gotten a chance. So look at the United States Supreme Court. They refused to hear the case. And you had,
they said there was no standing to give the case. That's correct.
Well,
can I just ask?
No standing, I know. No standing. And the president of the United States supposedly didn't have standing either. So I wanted to file it myself. They said, sir, you don't have standing. I said, what?
So, yeah, I mean, that's true. You know, if he is not a Pennsylvania voter, he's not a Wisconsin voter. Okay, we don't need to even focus on that. Now, in a second, Trump hangs up because he's just sick of this.
Wait a minute. I'm the president of the United States. They just rigged an election. Hundreds of thousands of votes in different states. They just rigged an election. We got a number of votes that I think you'll agree no sitting president has ever gotten the number of votes that I got. No
a lot
sitting
of votes,
president
that's true.
Has ever
in
gotten
a lot of
no
lot of
sitting you, president. Nobody believes. You think Biden got 80 million votes?
It's true.
I don't believe
it's
it.
It's true that you got more
got
than any sitting
in
president
basement.
In the election you've disputed.
How come he couldn't?
If
how
I can,
come
Mr.
Biden,
President, Mr. President.
Let me ask you this question. How come Biden couldn't attract 20 people for a crowd? How come when he went to speak in different locations, nobody came to watch, but all of a sudden he got 80 million votes?
If you'll forgive me, maybe because the election was about you. If I can just move on to ask, are you telling Republicans in 2022 that they must press your case on the past election in order to get
great
your endorsement?
Question.
Is that an absolute?
They're going to do whatever they want to do. Whatever they have to do, they're going to do. But the ones that are smart, the ones that know, you take a look at, again, you take a look at how Carrie Lake is doing, running for governor. She's very big on this issue. She's leading by a lot. People have no idea how big this issue is, and they don't want it to happen again. It shouldn't be allowed to happen, and they don't want it to happen again. And the only way it's not going to happen again is you have to solve the problem of the presidential rigged election of 2020.
Mr.
So, Steve,
President,
thank
if
you
I'm
very much.
Wait, one more question.
It.
I want to ask about a court hearing yesterday
and
on
Trump
January
has hung
6th.
Up.
Judge Amit.
You know when he sort of like withers away. You know what happens if you take cotton candy and you put it underwater? that's what happens to Trump under questioning. There's nothing there. Fantastically done by Steve Inskeep. Read through how every argument Trump makes falls apart, and he just moves to the next one. Steve Inskeep says they looked at all. They looked at the ballots. The ballots are fine. The counts were fine. And Trump says, well, the number of ballots were fine, but if you looked individually, the ballots have bogus signatures or they are invalid in some other way. So that's a shifting. So it's no longer about the numbers, but now it's about each individual ballot. Steve Inskeep says the Republican Party accepted the results. And he says those aren't really Republicans. He says those are rhinos. So that's the next argument. Steve Inskeep says your lawyers and judges you appointed say it's fine and that it is not there is no fraud. And Trump says the lawyers were bad. And at that time, it was too early to claim fraud. It was then fraud had to be claimed later. Steve Inskeep says Pennsylvania and Detroit. Trump says in Pennsylvania and Detroit, there were more votes than voters. That's just completely untrue. And Steve Inskeep knows that. You can look it up yourself. It's public. There were not more votes than voters. Then Steve Inskeep asks, why are your Republican colleagues in the Senate not standing up for this? And he says, well, Mitch McConnell's a loser. Wow. Okay. Trump says it's not over in Pennsylvania and Wisconsin. There's still things happening. No, there aren't. Trump says courts haven't actually looked at the cases. That's a lie. 63 cases were looked at and dismissed. Trump says hundreds of thousands of votes were rigged. So he's kind of going back to the votes again. And then he says, how did Biden get 80 million votes if no one went to his events? And of course, Biden was being really cautious at the time because of COVID and wasn't really doing large events. So piece by piece, you have nothing. It evaporates like cotton candy when put underwater. You just have grains of sand there. Nothing substantial of any kind. Excellent job by Steve Inskeep. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this because I don't have a lot of time to spend on this. But Marjorie Taylor Greene must be removed from the House of Representatives. She appeared on Sebastian Gorka's program yesterday. This was one of Trump's many various advisors. And she suggested using Second Amendment rights against Democrats. She actually says in this segment, the reason we have the Second Amendment is so that we can use it against people who are doing the things Democrats are doing right now. She should be removed from the House. Take a look at this.
They're coming for our guns and for our civil rights, are they not?
They're not, but okay.
Oh, of course they are. As a matter of fact, Stacey Abrams, who is running for governor for the second time in Georgia, in her announcement speech, after she said that she would pursue aggressive vaccinations of Georgians, the next thing she talked about was grabbing people's guns. She hates Georgia's Second Amendment rights. She wants to stop constitutional carry, which is exactly what our state legislators and our governor should be pursuing right now. They should be passing it and signing it into law. Democrats, they hate our Second Amendment because ultimately the truth is it's our Second Amendment rights, our right to bear arms that protect Americans and give us the ability to defend ourselves from a tyrannical government.
Now, remember, there are no prominent Democrats suggesting getting rid of the Second Amendment. And there is no serious legal opinion that some regulations around firearms violate the Second Amendment. These are widely established principles of law at this point, but it doesn't matter to her.
And I hate to use this language, but Democrats, they're doing exactly what our founders talked about when they gave us these precious rights that we have. And you know, no one wants violence. And I say it all the time. I'm not a violent person. And I hope to never see a civil war in this country. And that's why you hear me toss around national divorce, because the federal government has grown so big and the Democrats are willing to use the power of the federal government that it really violates people's rights. And this is why state rights are so important. And it's a shame. We shouldn't think that way. But, I don't know what's going to happen in the future. But we always have to make sure that we're defending our Second Amendment rights.
So the key line there is Democrats are doing the things for which the founders gave us the Second Amendment to protect us against. She's saying Democrats are doing things worthy of so-called Second Amendment solutions. She should be removed from Congress immediately. It's like a do not pass go, do not collect $200, just get out. Unfortunately, expulsion from Congress requires a resolution to expel in the Ethics Committee, an investigation over the alleged actions, and then a two-thirds vote. Democrats will never get a two-thirds vote to expel Marjorie Taylor Greene in the House unless she quite literally was charged with a felony, because most Republicans think this is fine. And you know what? She's going to get reelected. That's the scariest part. You know, Jewish space lasers starting forest fires. At this point, it really shouldn't shock us. But despite all of it, she's going to get reelected. Isn't the Secret Service obligated to investigate her at this point? And these people with the violence and the guns, and they still get into power. And obviously, we have to say this says something about them, that they keep electing people with these sort of violent fantasies. Madison Cawthorn and others talking about using Second Amendment solutions against Democrats. And I guess it's sort of like they love violence. They just don't want the people on their side to be subjected to it. But they don't really have a problem with violence. And it is without a doubt a form of stochastic terrorism. This woman is disgusting. We have a voicemail number. That number is 2192-DAVID-P. Eric from Mass has been calling in for the entire pandemic, saying we're about to blow the lid off of this thing. And he again says, it's about to happen. We're about to get the truth on the pandemic. And when we do, I'm going to be screwed. Take a look at this.
Hey, David, it's Eric from Mass. The CDC is about to come out with the real numbers of the pandemic.
Right.
It's going to be cut in a fourth. They're going to admit the PCR tests don't work. So it's going to be half of that.
So none of that's true. The PCR tests work. There's actually more cases than the number that we are seeing. COVID numbers are not overblown. We've debunked this endless times.
400,000, and then half of them with a flu. So it'll be about 200,000, which proves we were never in a pandemic to begin with, and the PCR tests were wrong. And
of course, all of this is lies, but Eric really thinks any day it's going to come out.
Took a vaccine for nothing. But what will you do? You will lie and evade and blame everyone else. It's going to be the funniest shit I've ever seen. I can't wait.
Well, show me the numbers, my friend, because every one of this guy's predictions over the last 2 years have been utterly wrong. We've got a great bonus show for you today. Joe Biden calls for a change to the filibuster in a major voting rights speech. We will talk about it. Extreme weather in the U.S. is believed to have cost 688 lives last year. How do you even calculate something like that? We will discuss. And the Justice Department is creating a unit focused on domestic terrorism. What will they do? Who is in favor of it? Who is against it? You can probably guess the answers to some of those questions. Get instant access to the bonus show by signing up at joinpacman.com. We are still banned from Facebook monetization. You can use the coupon code FFacebook. That's Facebook with two Fs to get a discounted membership to help us make up that revenue loss. FFacebook is the coupon code.
Would you like to take the sounds of your favorite radio station to places you never thought possible? Well, now you can, because WRCT is live on the internet. Just point your browser to www.wrct.org and click on our live MP3 broadcast. Now you can go out of town without any feelings of loss or regret for leaving us behind, because we're just a mouse click away. WRCT, live on the internet. Because why should Pittsburgh have all the fun?
RCT Pittsburgh, meaty and full of flavor since 1949.
Yo, what's up? How y'all doing out there in Technoland? RCT Techno DJs in the house. Oh yeah, bringing you the only fat beats in Pittsburgh. Right here on WRCT Pittsburgh, 88.3 FM. Word to your mother.
With your health and the new USDA organic product standards, WRCT Pittsburgh would like to inform you that all our DJs are genetically modified to bring you best music.
WRCT, the In Sound from Way Out.
Hello, my fellow Americans. I would just like to say now, as an expert on the subject, that WRCT Pittsburgh does not blow. Thank you.
Depose from the faint. Do you think I'm hot? You're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh.
Would you like to take the sounds of your favorite radio station to places you never thought possible? Well, now you can, because WRCT is live on the internet. Just point your browser to www.wrct.org and click on our live MP3 broadcast. Now you can go out of town without any feelings of loss or regret for leaving us behind, because we're just a mouse click away. WRCT, live on the internet. Because why should Pittsburgh have all the fun?
DJ Heim from Forest, and you're listening to 88.3 WRCT.
Nuclear Holocaust. It's a very serious problem, and one that faces...
corporate profits.
Then John Nichols on his new book, Coronavirus Criminals and Pandemic Profiteers, Accountability for Those Who Caused the Crisis. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. The World Health Organization says the number of confirmed coronavirus cases worldwide soared to 15 million last week, by far the highest weekly toll since the beginning of the pandemic. Countries across the globe, from Mexico to Argentina to the Philippines, have shattered previous records for new infections. Hospitalizations are rising rapidly in many places. In Canada, Quebec's premier said Tuesday he'll begin levying fines on adults who refuse to be vaccinated for non-medical reasons. German Chancellor Olaf Scholz told Parliament Wednesday he'd like to make vaccinations mandatory for all adults. In France, tens of thousands of unionized teachers have walked off the job to demand a coherent policy for COVID-19 in schools and to demand greater protections for teachers and students.
We have reached a level of exasperation, tiredness, and anger. We had no choice but to organize a large mobilization to send a strong message to the government.
In Britain, some senior members of Prime Minister Boris Johnson's Conservative Party are calling on the Prime Minister to step down after Johnson admitted he attended a cocktail party at his official residence in May 2020 at a time when he'd ordered the UK into a strict coronavirus lockdown. Opposition parties also demanded Johnson resign. This is Labour Party leader Keir Starmer.
After months of deceit and deception, the pathetic spectacle of a man who's run out of road. His defence that he didn't realise he was at a party. it is so ridiculous that it's actually offensive to the British public. He's finally been forced to admit what everyone knew, that when the whole country was locked down, he was hosting boozy parties in Downing Street. Yes. Is he now going to do the decent thing and resign? Yes.
Across the pond here in the United States, President Biden is announcing the deployment of 1,000 military medical personnel to six states where hospitals are overwhelmed with COVID-19 patients. The U.S. is averaging nearly 800,000 cases per day, a record high, and more than 145,000 U.S. hospital beds are filled by COVID patients, also a record number. Top infectious disease expert Dr. Anthony Fauci said Wednesday most U.S. residents will be exposed to coronavirus at some point.
Virtually everybody is going to wind up getting exposed and likely get infected. But if you're vaccinated and if you're boosted, the chances of you getting sick are very, very low.